You might be great at what you do, but I got to tell you something. If nobody knows about it, it doesn't matter. Welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner, Empowerment for Successful Entrepreneurs. Today's episode number 61, Share It With The World. I've got a very special guest for you. You're going to love. Today's episode is sponsored by Marketing Thunder. MarketingThunder.com. You can get 7 days of full access for just $1. Certainly worth checking out if you're a business owner and you want to know a little bit more about marketing. That is the place to go. All right, everyone, welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner. Robert Imbrielli here, and I am excited today because we get to talk about something that is probably one of those topics that doesn't get enough attention. Now, in the Marketing Thunder, like I talked about earlier, I interviewed somebody else who was doing public relations, and it was brilliant, and I wanted more. I wanted to find out more about this because we're all really good at what we do, and one of the challenges we have is that we get lost behind our computers, right? We kind of hide behind our email kind of thing, and what ends up happening is nobody knows how brilliant we really are, and it's especially true if you're a coach. One of the frustrations I've had in the coaching world, I've been coaching now since 1995, and one of the real frustrations is nobody really understands the brilliance of what happens in those coaching sessions because they're private between me and the person that I'm working with. I can't go out there and brag and say, oh, you won't believe what happened to this was in the session today. I can kind of tell you a little bit about it, but I can't get into the details, nor you can't see it, right? So I can be really brilliant. I could know a lot about my craft. I could know a lot about what I'm doing. But if nobody else knows, it's useless. You know, it's hard to get hired when nobody knows what you do. So I'm bringing on a special guest today. I really think you're going to enjoy. Ralph Brogdon is with us. He's joining us all the way from New York. And we're going to have a really robust discussion today on public relations, easy things you can do to get the word out and let the world know about you. Let me tell you a little bit about Ralph. And also on your screen, you can see Ralph is offering a free gift for simple steps to being a great guest and attracting more opportunities with every media interview you give. Just go to his website, ralphbrogdon.com. /free, and you could download that right now. So Ralph Brogdon helps smart people like you and I package and promote your ideas for maximum exposure. This is really key. He's a best-selling author, marketing and media strategist focusing on strategic communication. He's a former copywriter and marketing strategist for a digital media agency in New York. Ralph and his clients have been featured on places like CBS, NBC, ABC, Fox, USA Today, Huffington Post, and hundreds of nationally syndicated television, newspaper, and magazine outlets. Ralph is a producer for Business Innovators Radio Network and the host of Rebelpreneur Radio for WCKG 102.3 FM in Chicago. And I was blessed enough to be invited onto that show a few weeks back. He's the author of the best-selling book, Irresistible Marketing, 4 Psychological Strategies for Getting People to Buy Without You Having to Sell Them. Ralph, I'm so happy to have you here. Welcome.
Robert, it is my pleasure to be here. It's such an honor to connect with you after so many years.
Yeah, when you told me the story about how our paths first crossed, I was very impressed. You mind sharing a little bit of that here today?
Sure. Well, I got my start on the internet back in the early 90s, and I was familiar with Dan Kennedy and Jay Abraham and those offline marketing gurus, but they didn't have a lot in the mid 90s to teach people about internet marketing. So I went into whatever search engine was available in the mid to late 90s. It wasn't Google. It was Hotbot or Alta Vista or I don't know what it was, and typing in internet marketing, and I came across this guy's website, Robert Imbrielli, and thought, wow, this guy is pretty smart. So one of the first purchases I ever made on the internet was buying your book, Robert, and I wish I could remember the name of it, but it really made an impression on me. It got me started in translating what I had learned offline to be able to execute strategies online. So it's a real honor to connect with you after all of these years.
You know, it's a blessing, I think, for somebody like me to be in that position. I know a number of people who got their start by something I did way back when. I won't mention how long ago it's been, but I've been online since 1984, and I really started selling internet marketing materials around 1995 or so. I started writing ebooks, and it's really great to see it's had an impact. But that humble beginning, it's really, you've had quite the career going forward. You've done some amazing things.
Yeah, I've I started out with my own advertising company when I was 18 years old. I started selling advertising, and I'll share that story with you because it kind of sets the stage. This is 30 years ago. I was selling advertising and went and called on my first prospect and gave him my pitch, and he reached in his pocket and he pulled out money. And he paid me $800 cash.
I love when that happens.
And I'm 18 years old. This was my first sales call.
Wow.
And I thought, I am going to make $1 billion in advertising. And so what did I do? Of course, I went home, I quit my job, and I went full steam ahead. So then the next day, my second sales call in my life was to an auto mechanic shop to sell them an ad. I don't know why he was on my list. But I didn't know what I didn't know. And I figured yesterday was easy. Today is going to be just as easy. And here's some easy, quick money I can make in advertising. So I went into the garage and I see a pair of legs sticking out from underneath the car. And I kind of clear my throat and make my presence known. And the guy slides out from under the car. He's covered with grease from head to toe. His hands are dirty and covered with oil, and I'm there with my my white shirt and my tie and everything, and I had read somewhere that you're supposed to shake hands with prospects because it makes them feel like you're one of them, and I tried to shake his hand and his hands were covered with oil. He offered me his wrist, like this, and I shook his wrist a couple of times. I just did everything wrong, and then is it okay to say crap? I gave him the crappiest sales pitch I have ever heard in my life. I said, "Mr. Prospect, I just came by today to see if you might be interested in doing a little bit of advertising." Guess what the auto mechanic told me?
I guess it wasn't a resounding yes.
It was not interested.
Not interested.
And maybe a few other choice words. And he turned his back on me and slid back under the car and went back to work. And I thought, I'm not going to make $1 billion in this business. But it started me on a path because that got me to wonder, what's the difference between the first guy who said, I'll take it, and starts handing me his money, and the second guy who said, not interested. So that got me on a lifelong journey of studying marketing and psychology. I double majored in marketing and psychology to try to understand how those two disciplines work together, human behavior and consumer behavior. And then that led me to a graduate program in strategic communication, because what I found is how we speak to people, how we communicate to them is what makes the difference. That's my educational interest. I went on and did some business things. I was a marketing strategist and a copywriter for an agency in New York. And then several years ago, I started on my own. And so here we are. And it's just always learning and always trying to understand what drives people to do the things that they do.
You and I have that in common. I the study of psychology was later for me after school, and really began with my exposure to Tony Robbins and that whole world, and really got excited about human behavior and really understanding what causes us to pull our wallet out. What are the emotions there? Because it is an emotional decision before it's a logical decision. And we can go and we can kind of justify anything that we want emotionally. We'll justify it with logic. We'll find the logic. It's not an issue. We'll make that decision. So I'm glad to hear you've learned that blending of those two is so critical. So many people kind of miss that. And they go, well, no, I just need a new autoresponder. I need a new landing page. And it's like, no, you don't. Right? You really need to figure out what the motivation is. Why does somebody want what it is you're offering?
That's right.
Figure it out from an emotional perspective. It makes all the difference.
Yeah. Well, and that really is what got me interested in strategic communication, and what as it turns out, it's not the logical persuasion that is really effective. It's the emotional persuasion. And particularly, my area of interest is the narrative paradigm, which is a theory of basically storytelling, that you can get more people to take action by telling them stories to shift their beliefs and their behaviors, as opposed to trying to argue with them logically. So all of our sales training about, you know, the articulated sales argument and having all of your rational points, it can make complete logical sense and prospects still say no, or let me think about it, or come back tomorrow, because there's more than just logic going on there. There is a whole psychological thing that's going on. And I think that that really is what is, that's the opportunity as well as the challenge with marketing today. There is a tremendous psychological barrier. We've got lots of information. We've got wonderful tools. And there are people in the world who need the things that, that we are trying to sell them, but there's a tremendous psychological barrier that as soon as people feel like you're trying to sell them something or you're sending them an ad, then they shut down, and it's a mental heuristic that kicks in that they automatically assume you're going to try and sell them something, and they become defensive. So there's an opportunity there that we've got to learn how to break through that psychological barrier if we want to help more people and if we want to enrich our and grow our businesses.
Yeah, you're seeing a lot of what we call advertising blindness on the internet now, and there's just so many ads. I was looking at my ad blocker yesterday just for fun, because for the first time I saw it, I had blocked more than 1,000 ads in a day, and I really wasn't scanning the internet all that much yesterday. I wasn't on the internet. And I said, over 1,000 ads have been blocked already today, and the only reason that we use an ad blocker, not because I really mind seeing the ads, is because the internet, for the most part, becomes unusable. There are so many ads on it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And those websites take forever to download, and it's makes it a horrible experience.
Well, and that's the thing. When you create a horrible experience around your sales process, it's not going to be very effective. And that's why when you do Google AdWord estimators, they base it on 1% response. 1 out of 100 people, if you're lucky and if you're really successful at breaking through all of that noise and connecting with somebody, you might get 1 out of 100 to click on it. I believe there's an opportunity that we can do better than just 1%. I think, you know, 99% of people are predisposed to ignore marketing messages. So the focus of my life and business and research is how can we touch people on a deeper level than traditional marketing?
Okay, you and I have a lifelong journey here, because I'm on the same page with. I go to NAB, you know, most years. I don't make it every year, and I always have the same question in mind. And the question is, we can do better than advertising.
Yeah.
Right. And there's got to be another way. And Howard Stern, I think you and I had this conversation about Howard Stern and how he, you know, really changed the face of advertising and why he's worth $500 million with that Sirius contract that he got. Right? And you look at that and you say, okay, what is it that he does so differently? Is he's found a new way to advertise. And it's all in the stories. Mm-hmm. That you mentioned earlier. So I'm thinking that you know, podcasters especially and websites and stuff, we're all putting these ads out there. And the response, like you said, 1%, how long is that going to last? That's unsustainable. That's way too low.
You can't build a business on 1%.
No, you can't.
The tagline for my radio show, Rebelpreneur Radio, is that we're helping you build the business you need so you can live the life you want. You can't build a business on a 1% response. And you certainly can't live the life you want with a business that's only getting a 1% response. So we've got to look at other ways to touch people, and not just touch them intellectually, but touch them deeply in their heart and in their mind, and with authenticity, and not with the latest hacks and the latest 101 tricks and tips. We don't need any more tactics. We need a new strategy. Actually, Robert, we need a paradigm shift from thinking. And our whole approach to marketing, what we think marketing is, it needs to shift. And lots of bad information out there. I hope that we can deliver some value today and help people make that mental shift to be more authentic and more effective in their marketing messages.
I was looking at a friend of mine, Joel Kamm. I was looking at his career, and it's kind of interesting to see how successful he's become over the past few years. And I said, what is the one element that he's got that nobody else seems to have? And the one element was, number one, he's authentic, right? And number two, he's out there. He's talking. He's always posting. He's responding to posts. He's active on social media. A lot of us do, and I'm included in this too, we become very passive on social media. We're on it every day. We might be watching and looking and seeing what other people are doing, but we're not active and nobody knows what we're up to. Mm-hmm. Right. And we can change that. And you're right. It is a paradigm shift. And it's about being less fearful of I think a lot of people are afraid of what somebody might say. I'm not going to post on Facebook because somebody might disagree with me. That's part of life, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that can create some very interesting interactions with people. For example, a couple of weeks ago on my Facebook page, I posted a very simple, what I thought was a simple proposition that we should always be honest with our prospects. We should always be honest with our potential customers and always be honest with our clients. And some attorney, some young attorney challenged that and says the purpose of marketing is to make money as much as possible, as fast as possible, as long as you don't break the law. But then he wanted to parse exactly what was and was not against the law in terms of being honest with people. So we did have a very spirited discussion. And I said, you know, you're giving me great material that's reinforcing my argument that we really have a problem. And we need to have a cultural and a paradigm shift when it comes to marketing and ethics.
And this is going on my next podcast, by the way, just so you know. It's just to keep him in the loop there a little bit. Yeah. No, it is really true. It's like there's a big difference between what's legal and what's ethical. I mean, those are not at all in alignment. Yeah. And, you know, you can do it. I've seen it. I've been to so many seminars and worked with so many of these get rich quick type people. And I've seen the lack of ethics legal. It's legal what they're doing, but the lack of ethics is there. And you don't really build long-term relationships. I have customers that have been with me for years, and because they get value and they keep coming back again and again, they know that I care about them. And they really are like an extended family in many respects to me. Different game. Than just going out there and let's put something on the market. And we know 30% of the people are going to hate it and they're going to refund, but it doesn't matter. The other ones aren't going to bother refunding and we'll make that money.
Yeah. Or the hidden continuity trick they grab the credit card and it's absolutely legal what you're doing, but they're counting on the fact that people aren't going to notice until they've been billed 5 or 6 months for this thing that gives them no value. And so my perspective on things is if that's what it takes to grow a business to give you the life that you want, then that's not the kind of life I want to live. It's not the kind of business I want to run. And I just think there's a better way. We just have yet to articulate it effectively. That's what I'm hoping to do is with Rebelpreneur and these other things that I have going on to try and create this this revolution, perhaps, in how we think about marketing.
I love it. I want to be part of it.
Okay.
Because that's my passion in life too, is to figure out a better way, because I know there's a better way. I mean, every bone in my body says there is a better way to do this. This is not sustainable what we're doing here.
Right.
And it needs to change.
The problem is people take their lessons. Social cognitive theory says that we are basically our behavior is based on what other people do. We see other internet marketers, we see people running ads, and they're talking about, I'm making 6 figures, I'm making 7 figures, I'm making 8 figures. And it's all because of this one tool. You know, it's like I got a hammer and I made $8 million last year building houses, and I can sell you this hammer for $10,000 and you can make millions of dollars also. So they're getting us excited about a tool when there's a whole toolbox. And then there's a whole skill set. Everyone wants to sell you a piece of the puzzle. But you need like 1,000 pieces really to make the thing work. That's what they don't tell you. So what we need is not more tactics, more tools in our toolbox. What we need is a unifying strategy, a grand unifying strategy that's more evergreen, so that regardless of how you execute or where you execute it tactically, your strategy is still universal and it's based on timeless principles of human nature and human behavior that don't change.
And a lot of those tools can be very useful.
Yes.
But what they don't tell you is you need to have a foundation in place. Mm-hmm. You have to have a product. You have to have a business running. You have to have a merchant account. You have to have your website up. You have to have, you know, at least a small client base. And then when you put that tool on there, then it might have an impact. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people will go in buying it. They have nothing set up. And sometimes they're even told, you don't need anything. You know, no list, no yeah. customers, no product. Don't worry. You'll make millions. I'm like, well, how's that going to work?
No website, you know, no experience. And I don't know, Robert, I've been at this for over 30 years and I'm still, you know, learning and growing. And I just don't think that there's a single tool out there that's going to transform someone into a 6 or 7 or 8 figure entrepreneur in just a matter of a couple of days. It just doesn't exist. But it's feeding that urgency that's out there. There's people who believe that it will. And so I really believe, just as we saw a market correction in the housing market, I think there's going to be a market correction in the whole internet marketing space. As more and more people buy into this pipe dream and the bubble bursts and they realize that nothing is as simple as has been explained to me. There's not a single tool, tactic, or method that is going to deliver all of these results that I'm expecting. And that's where I think there's opportunities for strategists to come in and really lay a new foundation, a firm foundation, so that you can truly grow a business and build a business on something that's going to last, regardless of what Google does, regardless of what Facebook does. Here's the problem. If you build your business around a particular tactic or around a particular platform, for me, in the early 2000s, it was publishing my ebook on ClickBank. So tactics always change depending on the timing, depending upon the tools, depending on the situation. The way we fight wars today is very different from the way we fought World War II, very different from the Civil War, very different from the Revolutionary War. So if you take that analogy and apply it to marketing, tools are always changing, tactics are always changing. So in the early 2000s, the best practice was write your ebook, publish it to ClickBank, right?
Right.
And then run ads on Google that basically sent traffic directly to your ClickBank page. That's what I did. And I was amazed at how much money I was making. But why am I not doing that today? Why am I not making? Because Google changed the rules. And first they said, oh, you have to put AFF in your ad if you're an affiliate. So that knocked out your affiliate ads, or people saw AFF in the ad. They didn't want to click on it because they realized it was just trying to sell them something. Then instead of being able to pay 1 cent for a click in the good old days, now you're paying 5 cents, then 25 cents, then $1, then $5, then $10. And it just became astronomical. And I'm selling a $27 ebook. It doesn't make financial sense. So the tactics are constantly evolving and changing. But if you have the right strategy, it doesn't matter what the tactic is. It will work with the right strategy, with this right paradigm and master plan of what you're trying to accomplish. Then you can apply that and you are not beholden to Google or to Facebook or to Twitter. You can use these tools as it serves you and your strategy. But if they change the rules, it's not the end of your business. It doesn't wipe you out overnight as it did so many people back in the day.
So we were looking at Google and Excite and God, there were so many back then. I remember so many of these search engines, pay-per-click came out. It came out because, you know, people had banner blindness and paying for banner ads, and Yahoo became one thing, and then pay-per-click came along and that was much better, and so on and so forth. But we want to get beyond that. And what you bring to the table here is really fascinating for me. It's this idea that you want to leverage off existing audiences rather than building your own audience. I have this idea that having your own website is less important today than it's ever been. And you might say, well, why do you say that? Because it's so costly to drive traffic to your website. You know, at penny a click, I could do it all day long. At $10 a click, not so much. Right. And mm-hmm. what I find is if I look at my own personal habits of surfing the web, I go to a handful of websites. I don't go to every little website here, there, and everywhere. I just don't. I just go to, you know, I have my routine. It's Facebook, it's Twitter, it's, you know, it's those big websites. And that same strategy you bring to the forefront with this idea of public relations. In other words, what you're doing is you're getting your face in front of their audience. Because once people find out about you, they're going to come running. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Because I really want to get into that topic today.
Sure, absolutely. Well, for me, public relations, PR, media, it's beneath this umbrella that I'm calling strategic communication. And what I'm working on that I think is going to be very revolutionary is a program called Master Your Message. There's three components to mastering your message. The first is find your voice. The second is master your message. And the third is share it with the world. So PR is going to fall under the category of sharing it with the world. Now, it presupposes, and it doesn't work, just to blast something out to the world that you have not mastered. And so that's where all the noise comes from, is we haven't taken the time to truly find our voice. We haven't mastered our message, but then we want to run Facebook ads, or we want to do these big podcasting deals. And we really...
Well, honestly, that's what we've been sold.
Yeah.
We've been sold that. We haven't been told that you have to have a sales page that converts. We haven't been told that you need a product that people actually want, you know.
Yeah.
We're told just go out and buy ads.
Right.
And people go bankrupt doing that.
Yeah, they do. And then they think something's wrong with them. And I'm saying it's not, there's nothing wrong with you except that you can't build the penthouse until you build the foundation. So you can't just go straight to the penthouse. You've got to have a foundation. And the bigger and taller that building, the deeper that foundation has to be dug, or it's going to collapse. So those are the three components. Share it with the world is part of, or public relations is part of sharing it with the world. Why master your message? Four reasons. First is clarity. When producers are looking for people to come and be guests on their show, if you haven't mastered your message, you're not going to be clear. If you're not clear about who you are, if you're not clear about who you help, if you're not clear about the problems that you solve, if you're not clear about the results that you produce for people, and you haven't taken the time to master your framework of your message, then people are not going to give you a platform. Stephen Covey, for example, I love Stephen Covey, and I love his book changed my life more than 20 years ago. My boss said, your job depends upon you reading this book. I said, okay.
I'm reading it twice.
I'm reading it twice. Exactly. And then a few months later, he was coming to me saying, will you teach this to everyone else? Because I'm the only one that took it seriously. Stephen Covey did such a wonderful thing with the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Now, and I've watched him do television interviews. I've, of course, read the book many times. It's on management theory. It's on productivity. It's on basic principles of business and life. But if he had just put together a short little book and says, I'm just going to talk about some random things about how you could be more productive and more happy, he didn't have a framework for his ideas, he would not have gotten the momentum and the attention that he did with the book. Instead, he created a framework for his ideas, the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. That's not hard to do, to create a framework for your ideas so you're not just going all over the place. That's part of the foundation of it. Once you are clear about what your message is, that creates certainty. One of the things I'm really amazed by, Robert, is the number of people that I talk to. Some of them are clients, some of them are prospects, some of them are guests on my show. And they, or the people that they work with, really struggle with self-doubt. They're just not 100% sure that they are as good as their marketing says that they are. So we've been taught, you know, fake it till you make it. But that's part of the problem.
We have to live up to our marketing. Huh?
We got to live up to it.
Really? What a concept.
Yeah. So we make these huge claims, but then we are filled with self-doubt because we're not certain that we can deliver we don't have clarity, therefore we don't have certainty. But the reverse of that, when you are very clear about who you are, what your gift is, what your skill is, who you help, who, what are the problems you solve and the results that you deliver, when you are absolutely clear on those basic questions, and there's a few more, but those are the big ones, the benefit of that is you become certain. And that certainty then translates into confidence. Confidence that you know who you are, you know what you're here to do, you know who you are here to serve, and you are confident that you can deliver on everything that you promise. That confidence is what attracts customers, clients, prospects, media producers, people who want to give you book deals, people who want to have you on their show or on their program, customers, clients, constituents, or contributors. It's all a result of confidence. And this is what politicians have, more so than a lot of business people. Politicians have it for all the wrong reasons. They're still sometimes, you know, no matter what, they have to put on a confident air. I'm not talking about faking it till you make it. I'm talking about working from clarity to certainty to confidence. And then this is what attracts. You want more customers and clients, you got to be confident that you can deliver on the problems they have, solving those problems and delivering those results. So all of that is part of mastering your message. And one of the biggest ways to do that I have found is, as you say, leveraging other people's audiences. First, I should mention the three rules of communication, and you may have heard these before. The three rules of communication is have something worth saying. Have something worth saying. Secondly, say it well. And third, say it often. And that correlates to the three components of my program, Master Your Message. Have something worth saying means finding your voice. You can't imitate me. I can't imitate you. And the wonderful thing is we don't have to copy anybody else. We are unique. No one else in the world has your exact combination of experience, gifts, skills, passions. So we don't have to be like somebody else. You can be who you are and you can build your unique selling proposition or your uniquely special personage, your personal brand. It can be yours and it can be unique and it can be authentic, but you have to have something worth saying. Then say it well, and that's mastering your message, because you can say it better or you can say it worse, and that just takes practice. And then say it often, and that's where we begin to get into some really interesting strategies on not just advertising, not just you saying it, but how you can get other people to talk about you. Because here's the thing that I have learned, and I think most people will agree with this. People don't believe what you say about yourself. They don't believe it. Remember that psychological barrier that everyone... So anytime you make a marketing claim, people automatically, they're suspicious. That's why when we go to Amazon, we don't look at what the seller has to say. What do? We look at the reviews. And the first
always,
thing
always, that's the first place you go, right to the reviews, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Because we don't believe
social proof.
We don't believe what the seller says. Right. We believe what the customers say and what the social media says, what the reviews say. And then we usually click on, you know, the 2-star and the 1-star. We go right for the worst negative thing.
What's the worst thing that could happen if I bought this? Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So then we work our way up to the 3, 4 and 5 stars. But this is human nature. So have something worth saying. Say it well. Say it often. It's not just repeating the same message over and over again, but getting your message out consistently. And realizing that it's as much leveraging those other audiences, their message actually carries more weight than your own message. And I got a neat illustration that shows that principle. When I was in New York, I came up with an approach for filming testimonial videos for doctors. Up to that point, most of the doctors that wanted a video, they wanted the typical, "Hi, I'm Dr. Duflachi. And I'm a board certified blah, blah, blah surgeon, and I've been practicing medicine for the last X number of years. And we offer a full service, blah, blah, blah. And taking that principle that people don't really believe what you say about yourself, but they believe what other people say about you, for better or for worse, right? And especially for worse, but even for the better. So testimonials and reviews. And so what I came up with was very simple. And I showed up with a camera crew, and we had pre-arranged, the doctor shut down his office for the day, and he had pre-arranged for his patients that were willing to come in and let us film them giving a video testimonial. So I interviewed them on camera, and I got them to talk about life before, life after, problems that you had before, results that the doctor delivered for you. Very simple. But I led them in that interview process of discovery. I didn't coach them other than just to ask them those basic questions. And just to humor the doctor, because after all, he is paying for this, we did a little sit down, 60 minutes type film with him, where he had stayed up all night memorizing his script. I'm Dr. Duflacci, and it just wasn't good. It gifted doctors doesn't mean that he's gifted on camera. But what we did, then we took all of that material back and we edited it together. And what we ended up with were honest, authentic, real, genuine testimonials of patients saying things on camera that the doctor would never in his right mind say about himself. So if the doctor, if we were to film him and give him a script and say, here's your script, and it says, I will change your life. I'm Dr. So-and-so. You will feel like a brand new person by the time I'm finished with you. Nobody would believe that. They would think he's a quack. But you get his patients on camera saying, Dr. Duflacci is the best doctor I've ever had. He made me feel like a brand new person on the outside. I'm beautiful on the inside. Now I feel beautiful on the outside. Everyone here is just so warm and friendly. They can say all of that and people will believe them because it's real. So that's one way that we leverage the psychological propensity of people not to believe what you say, but they believe what your customers say. So one of the greatest leverage points is testimonials. You need testimonials. You need to capture those testimonials. If you can capture them on video, great. If you can't, get them on in text, get them in writing, and get them displayed on your website. People are more prone to believe what other people say about you than they are to believe what you say about yourself.
That is the ultimate. It's almost like the customer reviews that we go back to on Amazon, because that's what you're doing. You're just sort of, cultivating it and putting it on the website for other people to see, so they can read from other, because they'll believe them. Obviously, they'll believe them much more than they'll believe you tooting your own horn. Yeah. Very good. Very good stuff.
Yeah. So, along with that, there's six ways to get more people to know, like, and trust you. We've already established that getting people to know, like, and trust you, we are living in a relationship economy. And even though we're on the internet and we're separated and often hiding behind our computers, people still want to do business with people. They don't do business with brands. So your ability to connect with people is more important than your logo, more important than your website design. All of these things you can have in their proper perspective. But the goal is to get people to know, like, and trust you. So we use that with what I call third-party credibility, again, based on the principle that no one believes what you say about yourself, psychological barrier. How do we get around that psychological barrier? Well, because they believe what other people say about you, for better or for worse. So getting testimonials, that's number one. And I'll share six strategies. The first is getting testimonials, as I just illustrated with the doctor. A lot of people take a very passive approach and they think, well, if I do a good job and provide a good service, I'm going to get all these testimonials just to come in, and my testimonials should be unsolicited. Well, that's fine if they're unsolicited. Certainly use them. But what I have found is if you want anything in life, you have to ask for it. Ask and you will receive. And most satisfied and happy and thrilled clients and customers are very eager to give you a testimonial, but you have to ask for them. You don't have to ask for the negative testimonials, but you do have to ask for the positive ones. So the time to ask is not 6 months later. The time to ask is as soon as you have solved the problem or delivered the result, then ask them. And you can, and instead of leaving it up to them, you got to make it simple for people. So what I do is I give them a, again, like I was doing the interview, I give them very simple questions. What was the problem that you struggled with before meeting me? What was the result you were after? What's it like working with me? What would you say to anyone who's thinking about working with me? So very simple like that. And then just take their words and put it all together and you've got a testimonial. So that's very important. That's the first thing people look at on the website. As a matter of fact, 90% of websites, they scroll past everything you're saying about yourself. They want to see who else have you worked with. So it could be testimonials. It could be case studies. That's another form of testimonial. So all of this is leveraging what I call, or what has been called, the narrative paradigm. And it's basically that people are more persuaded by stories than by arguments. So testimonials and case stories, that would be the first. Makes sense?
Good stuff. Yeah, absolutely. And I like what you're doing too, because I look on your website, you have a lot of video testimonials there. And I find that if you look at some of the more successful infomercials, I always go to the infomercials because they're sort of the pinnacle of marketing, right? What are they for the most part? For the most part, they're client testimonials, right? Yeah. So there's a little bit of, here's what the product is, here's what it does, and let me show you this person who's never used it before, and let me show you the results that they're getting. And people will watch that and they go, wow, if that person can do it, they're not connecting with me, the seller, they're connecting with the user.
Yeah, that's a very good observation. And that goes back to social cognitive theory. We make decisions on what's appropriate based on what we see other people doing. Now, it's not just copying what other people do. We also evaluate. So the social is, what's everybody else thinking? What's their experience? And the cognitive side of that is, what does that mean to me? And should I emulate that? How would I emulate that? So we do go through a thought process, but those stories are very effective. I remember Don LaPree. I think he got a few years in prison, last I heard. But you can make $1 million, you know, with one tiny little ad working in my bedroom.
Now you're dating yourself, you know. I remember those ads.
Yeah, he would run these ads on Sunday morning, right? You know?
Yeah.
And
I think he committed suicide, if I remember correctly.
Really?
It was him. Yeah. I don't think he's with us anymore. Well, could be wrong, but I think, if I remember, it's been a while.
But again, it illustrates the point. Those ads were very successful.
Very effective, yeah.
But if you listen to him directly, it sounds like hyperbole. Right. A tiny little ad, how do I make $1 million? So then he brings his students on there, and they tell their experiences, and then all of a sudden the guy's got credibility. So we're talking about third-party credibility using narrative storytelling. The narrative paradigm is a theory that basically says that humans are storytelling creatures. We've been telling stories for thousands of years, and stories are more effective than arguments. So don't you make up the story. Get your customers to make up the story. Let them tell it in their own words. So that's the first point of leverage.
And you know, Ralph, you too, if you listen to the news media, you know, with the story, here's Joe in, you know, on the scene. It's like, it's always about the story, right? It's not about anything. It's not, they call it a report, but it's actually a story and they're telling the story. Here's what happened today. They're recounting an event, you know, for the most part.
It's the slice of life moments.
Yeah.
And you'll also see this. We just had a State of the Union address, but you see this in the State of the Union. The president doesn't just get up and make random comments, but they invite guests strategically so that they can tell a story that illustrates their point and then have the person who is the subject of the story to stand up and be recognized. So this helps people make a personal connection to the points that you're trying to make. So all of this is based on social cognitive theory. It's very fascinating. I got to be mindful of our time together, so I want to go on to number two, and that's get referrals. All of these start with get, by the way. If we want to get more people to know, like, and trust us, then we need, number two, get referrals. And referrals are powerful because, again, people are more likely to know, like, and trust the person referring you than they are to know, like, and trust you. So you can spend weeks and weeks and weeks and lots of advertising and lots of email messaging trying to reach out to people, trying to persuade them, trying to let them know, hey, here I am. You can know me. You can like me. You can trust me. And again, the psychological barrier says, you know, you've got to see those messages like a dozen times or two dozen times before they even begin to make an impression. You can just sidestep all of that and just get a referral. And if someone refers you and they already are known, liked, and trusted by the person that they are referring you to, then you just bypass all of those months of trying to build rapport. You have immediate rapport. Now, you got to be able to deliver. So there's a right way to ask for referrals. And again, don't wait. Don't just assume that if you're good and people love you, they're just automatically going to refer people to you. Whenever I have people on my radio program, they always, not to say always, most of the time, I'd say probably 99% of the time, they say, that was fun. That was really enjoyable. And it's right after that, when I thank them for being on the show, that I ask them for referrals, because I don't want to have to try and go out and find quality people. There's not enough hours in the day to process and try to find somebody. So I'm telling you how a media producer thinks, and this is going to be helpful to people when we get down to the part about getting interviewed, getting on to programs, is what are they looking for? Well, producers don't want to have to search and, you know, like American Idol, you know, we don't have time to go, you know, 50 different cities and have try to qualify people, pre-qualify them to see if they're good enough to be on the show. I'm looking and asking, okay, you are great. Do you know two or three others as good as you who would also be great guests for the show? That makes it so much easier. And then I am pre-sold on that person. So it works both ways. So again, it's working to my advantage because they go to them and say, hey, I just had a great time on Ralph's show and you should be on there too. I don't have to sell them on why they should be on my show, and they don't have to sell me on why I should have them as a guest. And so it's synergy, it's networking, and it's a whole lot of fun.
It is, and it really was a lot of fun to be on your show, by the way.
Oh, great.
I really did enjoy it. And I didn't know you needed referrals, because I can give you some of those too.
Well, I say, you know, what I say is, and give people a parameter. You can't just say, can you give me a testimonial? That's too vague.
Right.
You can't say, can you give me some referrals? That's too vague. And be very specific. I know, Robert, that you know a lot of people. Do you know two or three that would be really top quality, great guests? Almost anybody can come up with two or three, but you got to give people a parameter. Now, some people will say, I know 10. That's great. But if I can get two or three, I've set a perpetual motion machine.
Yep,
it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Yep. So that I never have to go out and prospect for top quality guests ever again.
And you see that on Facebook too. Facebook has that recommendations thing. You ask for recommendations, and in my area, I'm looking for a great plumber, and you know, people will tell you, I work with this guy, he's great, here's the number, you know? And it bypasses all the marketing. You're not picking up the yellow pages. Oh, did I say something people don't understand? You're not picking up the yellow pages looking for the next plumber. You're getting the referral and you're making the phone call. Yeah. I have people who hire me from that. They heard about me, or someone was talking about me at a seminar or talking about my book. And then I get the phone call, and it's not like, hey, you know, tell me about what you do. It's like, here's my credit card. When can we start?
Yeah.
Very different experience.
Right. So they're pre-sold already. You, yes. you, 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 and most importantly, you have gone around, under, over, through that psychological barrier. So there's no defensiveness. Actually, it's very open and it's very positive. So the third thing along those lines, six ways to get more people to know, like, and trust you with third-party credibility, get celebrity spokespeople. Get celebrity spokespeople. And you think, well, I don't know any celebrities. Well, you may be surprised at how many people you do know that are celebrities in a very niche market, meaning they've got a bigger list than you've got. They've got more social media followers than you've got. People already know, like, and trust them, even though they don't know you. See, and that's the thing about know, like, and trust. If they don't know you, they can't like you or dislike you. They don't have an opinion one way or the other because they don't know who you are. So once people know you, then they can form an impression. And we hope that it's a good impression and that they like you. Trust is something that has to be built a little bit at the time. But again, with celebrity spokespeople, and you know, you could also say JV partners or affiliates, but these people have already spent years, in some cases, building up their following, getting people to know, like, and trust them, leverage that by building a relationship with them. Again, you can approach this the wrong way, and they just completely shut you down because they get lots of requests like that. So we've got to look at this in a big picture, long-term strategy of building strategic relationships with people, not just trying to put out a hack and try to make something happen by next week. But this is for a long-term strategy that's going to pay off huge dividends for you later on. Celebrity spokespeople are very powerful. For example, Alex Trebek. What is Alex Trebek known for? Well, he's known for being the Jeopardy host. Okay. I assume the guy's pretty smart. Does he know anything about insurance? Is he an insurance salesperson? No. So why is he on television talking about insurance? Because people already know, like, and trust him. Actually, the target audience for that insurance company, Colonial Penn, yep, free advertising, sorry. See, it's more effective when he does it than when I do it, because not as many people know, like, and trust me as Alex Trebek. So that's the celebrity. So I can endorse it, and it's a completely different thing than if Alex Trebek talks about it. He doesn't know anything about insurance. He's not a licensed insurance salesperson. But those commercials, they're effective. And you know a commercial is effective if it runs, like, all the time. And these commercials run all the time. Because they know that their audience that they're trying to sell insurance to already knows, likes, and trusts Alex Trebek. Now, you may not be able to get Alex Trebek, but there is some celebrity in your industry. Just look a couple of notches higher than you, and you should be in relationship with those leaders anyway. So just be on the lookout, because they can help you get to where you want to be a lot faster. And one word of a celebrity in your favor is going to be worth well more than what you can say about yourself. Make sense so far?
Absolutely. And we're running up on the time here, so we're going to jump a little bit forward. Let's go to number four. That one was really good. I like getting celebrity endorsements. Powerful.
Well, celebrity spokespeople to talk about you, number three, number four. And it's very similar. It's a little bit different, but this is the actual endorsement. So getting someone to talk about you favorably is one thing. Getting an endorsement is where they actually go to their tribe. They go to their list and they introduce you to their list. So most of them don't do that just out of the goodness of their heart. They probably want what we're probably talking about is an affiliate or a joint venture partnership. But look to develop those. Look at ways that you can leverage your effort, save time, money, and energy by going to people that can get you in front of the same audience. And a lot of people don't do that because they think, well, I've got something that competes with them. But look for ways, look for programs, look for how you can position your value in a way that doesn't compete with the celebrity endorsement, but actually enhances that. So this is where you have to think strategically and not just think about, the short-term goal.
This is called influencer marketing in today's speak, right?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
So you want to find the Instagram account with 300,000 followers and get them to talk about you and, that kind of thing.
Right. Well, I mean, if there's a way to align your business so that Kim Kardashian talks about you, assuming that your audience is the same as Kim Kardashian, that could be a very powerful celebrity endorsement. But I guess that's going back to the example you use of Howard Stern. That's a celebrity endorsement right, where he's talking about the product, mm-hmm. actually using the product. And you may not even be aware that he's actually pitching it. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's paid for it too, by the way. You don't know that part.
Exactly. And, we saw a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, about the Fairy Festival, where these models were paid millions of dollars to get on their social media accounts and talk about this great event that never happened. And now, they're being held to account to see what role they might have contributed. I don't know how that's going to end up, but it shows you the power. People are willing to pay celebrities millions of dollars just to talk about their product.
So it opens the floodgates to sales is what it does.
Yeah. So no question. You don't have to do that. You don't have to spend millions of dollars, but be on the lookout for those strategic partnerships. They're out there. The fifth one is to get interviewed.
We like that one.
We like that one. I mean, when you have the opportunity to be on a radio show, a television show, a podcast, I tell my clients, accept all media interviews. And a lot of people, they want to get, how big is the audience? Am I going to get paid? The value that you get, the third party credibility that you get just by making a media appearance is worth far more than the value that you're going to get by placing an ad someplace, because that interview lives forever. And the fact that it's somebody else talking about you, and not just you talking about yourself, but you're on somebody else. So it's kind of you're kind of using a lot of these strategies together, but you're able to get positioning. You are able to access a different audience or a new audience. And I'm amazed when I give my guests I tell them what to post on social media to promote their appearance. And they tell me consistently, that post you gave me to promote this interview I'm doing with you, that went through the roof. I got more engagement out of that. Why? Third-party credibility. Oh, you're going to be on the radio. Wow, you must be something. You must be kind of a big deal, right? Because, and that brings me to the sixth one, get quoted in the news. We have so many wonderful tools today that we don't have to sit around and wait for a reporter to come to us with wanting a story and asking us for an interview.
What? Reporters are not out in the streets anymore. What's that about?
Yeah.
Well, we're dating ourselves now. You remember the reporter in the street with a camera and a pad and pen? That doesn't happen anymore.
Right.
The reporters are sitting behind their computer and they're looking for what pops up on the internet.
That's it. So we want to take advantage of that, and let's put some stories out there. Now, that's where the heart of publicity and public relations is. You can pitch those stories to the media. There's a process, and there's people who do that. What I'd like to do for my clients is write up a very powerful and persuasive news release, and we push this out to news wires. And so getting quoted in news, getting quoted in these major television, radio, and magazine places like Huffington Post, or even in CBS, ABC, Fox, Forbes, there's lots of opportunities out there. But again, you can't get quoted in the news if you haven't mastered your message. And just to close out on these six principles to illustrate this very powerfully, a few years ago, you'll recall maybe when Obama was giving a press conference about ISIS, and he created kind of a furor when he said, "We don't have a strategy yet for dealing with ISIS." And as a strategist, my ears perked up. First, I couldn't believe he didn't have a strategy. Second, I couldn't believe he'd actually tell everybody he didn't have a strategy, right? I mean, don't tell people you don't have one. Just say, we're working on it. It's in process. We're finalizing the strategy. We're considering a number of strategies. He said, we don't have a strategy. So I got an idea, and I wrote a news article release, and I sent it out. That news article got picked up by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of media outlets. And the headline for that article said, marketing strategist Ralph Brogdon advises Obama on no strategy remark.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Boy, that's brilliant. Tapping into something that's already in the news.
And there's a name for that. We call that newsjacking. And
I love that word too.
Yeah. So that was, everything lined up perfectly for me to be able to take that and to dovetail that into who I am and what I do. But you got to be careful with how you do this so that it does not seem like a marketing piece. It needs to be a news report, a featured article, or something to that effect. There's a certain template and a certain format I use, and that I use with my clients, that helps to get these things picked up and spread. So the bottom line is that got me more exposure than anything I've ever done with advertising. Yeah, and it cost very little. So those are the six ways to get more people to know, like, and trust you with third-party credibility. It's all part of mastering your message, but this is the part where you share it with the world. So I guess the bottom line is there's lots of ways to get to where we want to be. Let's open our mind and look for different ways to make a real positive impact on the world and really build a business that is going to give us the life that we want, and not be intimidated or overwhelmed with all these different marketing tactics and tools out there. Get our foundation straight. Get a great strategy that resonates with you, that's authentic and real, and just have fun.
How do people reach you?
RalphBrogdon.com.
Okay. I'm going to put this slide back up here again, because I want them to go and get that, the free gift, the four simple steps to being a great guest and attracting more opportunities with every media interview you give. Ralph has a special link for you, ralphbrogdon.com/free. And on the website, you can see his testimonials, and you can use those, you can model those, if you will, for your own business. It's really great to learn from somebody who's actually out there doing it, one of the best, if you will. And it's certainly worthwhile learning from one of the top guys in the industry. Ralph, I want to thank you for being with us today. This has been a lot of fun, and hopefully we could do more together, because you and I seem to have a similar desire to find a better way to promote products and stuff and make money than advertising.
Yeah, I love it. And thanks so much for the opportunity. It's so great to connect with you and to kind of come full circle in this whole internet journey that we've been on, and would love to do it again sometime.
Absolutely. And I'll ask you for referrals too. If you know anyone that you think would be a great guest for Coach's Corner, certainly send them my way, and I will do the same likewise for you, for your radio show, which I really appreciate being on. Thank you for having me. And we'll do this again, I promise you.
Okay.
We absolutely will.
Sounds great.
All right, everyone. Thanks so much for watching us today. And if you like this, please share it with your friends, your followers, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, or the podcast. It's available on pretty much everywhere you get podcasts. We have both the audio and a video version available for you, so you can download whichever one makes more sense for you. And please send your questions my way. Robert@ultimatewealth.com. That is my email. Has never changed since 1999, actually. I read all my emails. I do look and, comments, questions. Somebody who you think would be a great guest for Coach's Corner, absolutely send them my way. Thanks so much, everyone. We'll see you again real soon.